Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
To warn people of the wrath to come, God's sure judgment that will come upon this world. He's given the offer of salvation and pardon through Jesus Christ. But it is up to people to respond to him. And, you know, he's chosen to use us to carry his gospel. And it's not a social gospel, of course. It's the true gospel of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 3. But as I say, we've been going through this series, and I had been commenting about a Bible prophecy conference that I had gone to recently. And one of the speakers had been, he actually quoted from an article from 2008, which I had planned on using, and I did use, of course, last week in the podcast. So, excuse me. So I had left off in that article. Of course, I didn't agree with everything in that article because it was a little bit dated, 2008, a few years back. But in the vein of one world government and climate change and climate control, etc., that was kind of the gist of where we've been looking at the last few podcasts. And so I wanted to move on to another older article, again, relevant, I believe, from 2009, October the 23rd, 2009. It's from One News Now, and it's called Of Climate Control and One World Government. Excuse me. Now, Pete Chegnon is the man who wrote the article, so I always like to try to give credit to those who I refer to. And in this article, he has these comments. And this, of course, article was just less than a year after the other article that I had read, which once again was entitled And Now for a World Government. And that was from the Financial Times that the speaker at the prophecy conference had spoken or had also shared from. Anyway, this article, Of Climate Control and One World Government, it says, will the upcoming Copenhagen climate talks usher in a one world government? See, there was the concern there in 2009, climate talks. Lord Christopher Monckton, the former advisor for science policy to Lady Margaret Thatcher, believes that if the U.S. signs any climate treaty coming out of the Copenhagen Climate Change Conference in December, it could subject the United States to a global dictatorship. Monckton explains his concerns. This treaty of Copenhagen, which is going to be negotiated by the states' parties to the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change in December, is going to establish, for the first time in human history, a global government, he warns. Monckton contends that the word government appears twice in paragraph 38 of the draft, and that paragraphs 36 through 38 explain that the purpose of the treaty is to establish a world government, whose job, he explains, will be to transfer wealth from the wealthy countries, such as the United States most of all, to third world countries, and the excuse for this transfer of wealth is so-called reparation. You know, we've heard a lot of that lately in our news here in the U.S. from the Liberal Democrat side. Reparations for everybody, you know, just about anybody but, you know, white males, I guess. anyway, but it's really an excuse for socialist globalism. Reparation for so-called climate debt, he adds. Monckton notes that the UN believes the U.S. owes the world this debt because of its use of fossil fuels, which he says are mistakenly blamed for causing man-made global warming. He adds that this world government will have the ability to make the U.S. pay. Monckton is hopeful that the U.S. will lack the willingness to ratify such a dangerous treaty. It must be passed by a two-thirds majority in the Senate, which is 67 out of your 100 senators, says Monckton. Now, I don't think that Obama will find it all that easy to get a two-thirds majority, but during his election campaign, one of his advisors said that he, Obama, regarded the U.S. Constitution as merely a piece of paper. And I would say, you know, I would say exactly like the rest of the Anarchy Party, his Anarchy Party. And he saw it as a barrier to the things that the left around the world want to do, and therefore they were going to find ways of circumventing it. We sleepwalked into a dictatorship in Europe, he laments. All right, it appears to be a benevolent dictatorship for now, though it's a very expensive one, but you still don't want America to go there. Democracy is valuable. In this country, the U.S., which is the cradle of freedom, I hope you will cling to your democracy, that you will all fight this sinister treaty, you will say no to it very, very firmly, and that you will remain the beacon of freedom for the world. All right. Now, this is a little off topic, but I just want to say, I've had a little technology change to the provider for my podcast that I recorded on. And it is possible that the start of my last two podcasts, I may have been cut off my first comments, my introduction or whatever, because I'm adjusting to this new technology. So please forgive me if you have noticed that. I didn't recheck both podcasts at the beginning. I didn't go over it with a fine tooth comb. But anyway, at least it's up and running and recording. I see that, and so we'll just move on. Now, another article in this whole one world government, what I originally started out with various current events that were taking place, but the one world government, which is a big issue, which is a big part of my series, so much that we've been looking at that climate change or global warming, whatever term they're using this week, for this so-called man-made event, which I don't believe is a man-made event, or at least not entirely. There might be some contribution to it. But anyway, we've been looking at this because there is there has been so much in the news. Now, I've been reading some older articles. These are a few articles here that I want to read that are newer articles. But again, you see the trend. For some time now in my podcast, I've been showing a record of several different articles, both pro and con and left and right and in between, about this whole issue. It's interesting that many people disregard what the Bible says about the end times and the coming cataclysms and the birth pangs and things that will come, but have chosen to replace that with a fear and a worry about man-made global warming. And of course, I have an article that I hope to get to today that really refers to climate alarmism as really being the left, or, you know, the liberals' apocalypticism, if you will. Anyway, an article from Breitbart that I want to read. I have a couple from Breitbart that are current. This one is entitled NBC News Technology Correspondent Climate Change. This is what an NBC News Technology Correspondent has said. Climate change threat is like when space aliens land with ray guns and are threatening all of us. Of course, you know, I've talked about that in past podcasts about, some of the different ideas that globalists and elitists have considered to try to control the masses. And report from Iron Mountain, which is a book I refer to, talked about some of those possibilities. And at that point in time, many years ago, they rejected the alien invasion hypothesis because they didn't think anybody would buy that. Well, now, not so much. But anyway, I thought it was interesting that the title of this article just jumps right out at you, doesn't it? Climate change threat is like when space aliens land with ray guns and are threatening all of us. Anyway, this is the article, and it reads, well, it's, by the way, it is from Breitbart, as I mentioned. Someone by the name of Jeff Poor wrote this in May of this year. It says, during an appearance with MSNBC's Stephanie Ruhle, Monday during an appearance on MSNBC's Live, NBC News technology correspondent Jacob Ward sounded an alarm on the issue of climate change. During an appearance with MSNBC's Stephanie Ruhle, Ward likened the threat to that of a space alien invasion. you look at it and you think, this should be our great unifying moment, right? He said, this is the moment when space aliens land with ray guns and are threatening all of us, and we all band together like you see in the movies. This is it. And yet, that's not somehow happening. Well, they're sure trying to make it happen. All these Democrats running for president are certainly trying to warn us. We only have 12 years left. And as I've harped on in the past, is that right down to the second? Or you know, where are they getting this information that we should know it's exactly 12 years when the end is going to be here upon us? Anyway, he says, I guess I feel like it's the kind of thing where we should be able to band together, Ward responded. We should be able to access something really basic in our programming that just says existential threat, humanity, band together. And we're not doing that for some reason. One of the things this report says is that indigenous stewardship of lands tends to save them a little bit better. All right, so enough for that article. Now the next Breitbart article I want to touch on is entitled The UN. Humans could cause extinction of 1 million species, and globalism will fix it. All right. Now, this is an article by Penny Starr in Breitbart, and this was actually also May 6th. This article came out, and this is what it says. The headline spread around the world Monday with the release of the United Nations 3-year 1,500-page report on biodiversity screamed that humans are killing the planet and its population of animals and plants, with as many as 1 million species facing extinction in mere decades. However, mankind can stop the destruction through transformative change. Now, that's an interesting term, I would say, you know. In the New Age movement, there's often talk of individuals being transformed by recognizing their inner divinity, and that if enough people would recognize that, they could help turn the tide throughout humanity, and we could have a transformation on a global scale, right? And that's the goal of New Agers. So anyway, that may not be how this particular individual that's being quoted here, they may not come from a New Age perspective, but I thought that was an interesting term. Mankind can stop the destruction through transformative change that could translate into globalism, replacing national sovereignty and nations' self-determination. The health of ecosystems on which we and all other species depend is deteriorating more rapidly than ever, Sir Robert Watson, chairman of the Intergovernmental Science Policy Platform on Biodiversity and Ecosystem Services, which produced the report. And of course, you know, why I said that about the transformative change is because one world government and one world religion will come together at some point in the future. And so, you know, you don't know sometimes when you're speaking to an atheist, evolutionist, or a New Ager, but many of them, of course, have the same goal that globalism or one world government is going to save us all, or a one world religion, you know, and recognizing that we're God and that we need to make these radical transformative changes. You know, I made a note that for unbelievers, as I said before, you find that in this other article I will be sharing in a minute, the left always looks at climate change now almost religiously. And of course, we already know that the New Age people and UFO contactees, etc., they have already redefined many of the themes of the Book of Revelation and assigned new concepts and new ideas and redefined the terms to fit a New Age perspective for the future. But anyway, reading on, the report also tells us that it's not too late to make a difference, but only if we start now at every level from local to global. Through transformative change, there's that term again, nature can still be conserved, restored, and used sustainably. This is also key to meeting most other global goals. By transformative change, we mean a fundamental, system-wide reorganization across technological, economic, and social factors, including paradigms, goals, and values. And so there again, it could include like a spiritual social factor, a spiritual paradigm. In fact, I remember the term paradigm became really popular around the time that the New Age movement was becoming popular, but that's neither here nor there. That's just a little speculation on my part. Going back to this article, the report also finds that global goals for conserving and sustainably using nature and achieving sustainability cannot be met by current trajectories, and goals for 2030 and beyond may only be achieved through transformative changes across economic, social, political, and technological factors. Although the UN presents its report as scientific, its authors and advocates promote climate change as settled fact and praise political movements that embrace man-made global warming ideology, including students skipping classes to protest. This reminds me of the first Earth Day, of which I spoke of a couple of podcasts ago, and how that whole thing started with students being encouraged by their liberal teachers to skip classes, etc., and protest. He goes on to say, Mr. Watson, the Sir Robert Watson, says, "We have already seen the first stirrings of actions and initiatives for transformative change, such as innovative policies by many countries, local authorities, and businesses, but especially by young people worldwide, from the young global shapers behind the Voice for the Planet movement to school strikes for climate. There's a groundswell of understanding that urgent action is needed if we are to secure anything approaching a sustainable future." And remember, I talked a lot about the Parliament of World Religions, of course, and they had their whole subcontext of other things that they were dealing with, but climate change was a big part of that, and I reported on that in earlier podcasts. The media ran with the grim predictions of the report, including the Associated Press, which found experts, quote-unquote, to weigh in favor of its findings. Humanity, quote-unquote, unwittingly, is attempting to throttle the living planet and humanity's own future, said George Mason University biologist Thomas Lovejoy, who has been called the godfather of biodiversity for his research. He was not part of the report. "The biological diversity of this planet has been really hammered, and this is really our last chance to address all of that," Dr. Lovejoy said. Now, does this sound familiar, like Beto O'Rourke and the rookie politician AOC? I will use her initials because I really don't like to even mention her name anymore, and I have to. Anyway, they've both claimed that we have 12 years left, and this Dr. Lovejoy says, oh, this is our last chance. And we've heard this time and again, and I've quoted from articles as far back as the early 90s where the same thing has been said. Al Gore was saying things like that. So I wouldn't get too worried about that. If you're listening tonight and you don't know Christ, you've never been born again, now then you might have a little concerns about what's coming, because at some point in time, this world is going to go through far more than climate change. I can guarantee you that. Anyway, God is good. He's loving, gracious, and he warns us in advance. He told Noah to warn everyone. He told Lot to warn everybody in Sodom and Gomorrah. And he is warning people now through his faithful followers. So there is reason to concern, but it is not the concern of secular or New Age types, because their concerns are not along the line of God's plan and provision. So anyway, the next article I want to look at here is Climate Alarmism is the Left's apocalypticism. There you are. Now, this is from American Vision, and it's written by Gary DeMar. And this was actually 6/25/19 of this year, 2019. And I have to say in advance that I don't personally recommend Gary DeMar because of his eschatology. I don't agree at all with his eschatology. He's a dominionist and reconstructionist, I believe. But anyway, I don't agree with his view of Bible prophecy, but I do agree with this thesis in this paper. I think any apocalypticism might be a problem for him, or wrong for him. But anyway, I'll leave it at that because I don't want to get too caught up and Gary DeMar are American Vision. But I did think this article was worth lifting some quotes from, because I definitely agree with that title. Climate alarmism is the left's apocalypticism. You don't hear left people from the left warning about the judgment of God to come and the things related to Bible prophecy, that 20 or 25% of the Bible is prophecy. You won't hear that from the religion of left-wingers, of the Democrat Party, etc., because their religion, their Christianity, in fact, is a progressive, liberal, fake Christianity, in my opinion. Since it's not based on the Bible, I don't know how it could actually be true Christian religion. But anyway, we're not really that concerned about religion, are we, folks? We want to have a relationship with Christ, a living relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ. So anyway, this article, it says, Climate Armageddon is the new secular apocalypticism. In the 50s and 60s, it was nuclear destruction. That was always a possibility because the United States and the former Soviet Union had real nuclear weapons. Students were to duck and cover in case of a nuclear attack, like this was going to do any good. While there is great disdain for mixing traditional religious principles with science, politics, and morality, secularists don't seem to have a problem mixing their own brand of religion with their ideology. For many, Douglas Young, a professor of political science and history, argues, their new religion is politics, their faith is their ideology, and their church is their political party. So much truth to that. Although, as I say, there are those who identify as Christian, but they're of the Tony Campola, Jim Wallis, Sojourner Magazine, red-letter Christian type folks who don't, really don't believe the truth of Scripture. Anyway, the article goes on to say, like religious zealots, they fervently believe they have a monopoly on truth and are hell-bent on spreading their convictions, whatever the consequences. Unlike those who believe in ethical standards and the limitation of power in every area of life, these secular religionists have nothing to limit them in their quest to use politics to create heaven on earth. The result is fascism, where the state is the true reality of the individual. And I've said in the past, you know, you find that both in progressive Christianity, the desire to, you know, have sort of a Christian socialism and to create a paradise on earth. And then, of course, you see the same thing in the New Apostolic Reformation group that claims apostles and prophets today are speaking, and we should take heed and really obey and follow them, even if their words subvert the truth of Scripture, because they, too, are wanting to build a kingdom here on earth for Jesus, as though he needs our help in doing that. All he wants us to do is get the Great Commission out there, you know, share the gospel with people. He'll take care of the rest. Now, the article goes on to say, liberals don't see their ideology as being fascist because whatever they believe is good is by its nature good. And good things can't be fascist by simple virtue of the fact that liberals approve of them. the religion of science, next paragraph, similar to politics, science has become a religious ideology with its own religious text. On the origin of species, relativity, the special and general theory, the selfish gene. These are some examples of books. Its high priests, Charles Darwin, Albert Einstein, Richard Dawkins, Al Gore. Its seminaries, MIT, Stanford, Harvard, and its creedal dogmatism, there is no longer a debate over global warming and evolution, is a fact. He goes on in the article, he says, Science magazine analyzed 928 peer-reviewed articles about global warming published between 1993-2003 and found that not one disagreed with the consensus position that humans bear responsibility for climate change. Not one. The author claimed that none of these 928 papers argued that current climate change is natural, but there is disagreement among scientists on what is or is not causing an increase in global temperatures. There's also disagreement about the conclusions of the consensus as it is presented in the Science magazine article. There is disagreement, a whole lot of it, but those disagreeing are often marginalized because their opinions are contrary to the received faith, even though we have been warned about climate change for 100 years with no agreement whether it's global cooling, global warming, or neither. Even so, dogmatism persists. Former Vice President Al Gore compared global warming skeptics to people who believe the moon landing was actually staged in a movie lot in Arizona. That was June 20th, 2006, apparently, that he made that statement. And The Earth is Flat, November 5th, 2007. Gore, pushing an absolutist agenda, declared there is no longer any serious debate over the basic points that make up the consensus on global warming. ABC News global warming reporter Bill Blakemore reported on August 30th, 2006, after extensive searches, ABC News has found no such scientific debate on global warming. Talk about fake news, right? Anyway, even reporters have likened anyone who questions climate alarmism to those who deny the Holocaust. Every time you address the Holocaust, you don't bring somebody in that says it didn't happen. And we're at that stage now. We have Holocaust deniers. We have climate change deniers. And to be honest, I don't think there's a great deal of difference, Bill McGuire, an earth science professor, said on ABC's August 30th, 2006 edition of 2020. ABC once again. Massachusetts Institute of Technology professor Richard Lindzen asked these questions of about 100 people at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. in December 2004. Do you believe in global warming? That is a religious question. So is the second part. Are you a skeptic or a believer? He went on to say, essentially, if whatever you are told is alleged to be supported by all scientists, you don't have to understand the issues anymore. You simply go back to treating it as a matter of religious belief. Once someone becomes a believer in global warming, he never has to defend this belief except to claim that his opinion is supported by all scientists except for a handful of corrupted heretics, Lindzen added. Claude Allègre, a former education minister in France and a physicist, has written Ma vérité sur la planète, My Truth About the Planet. He likens those who follow the man-made global warming threat as religious zealots. You can pick almost any topic and find a similar result. For those advocating abortion, to oppose choice is akin to the subordination of women. For those claiming that homosexuality is a genetic condition, to argue otherwise makes you a bigot. If these were just personal opinions, few people would object, but they're the stuff of law. The impact of global warming dogmatism has resulted in Congress passing laws that tells us what types of light bulbs we have to buy. People will say, but this is being done for our own good, and that's the rub. And I am out of time. So God bless you all. I hope you'll join with me next week. Good night.